better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ podcast. I am JT and I'm here with my partner in crime, Joey.
Hey guys, you know me, Team Rest Round, what's up?
Yes indeed, lazy as ever. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been big. I've just come back from 3.5 months of being overseas and we are talking about the ADCC 2022.
Oh, big recap.
Mate,
this is our first episode we haven't recorded for 3.5 months.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and we'd planned for it. We had the episodes rolling out there, but we're back strong, better than ever. And then really, this is a kickoff into a new chapter in a way because we're famous, baby.
The way ADCC flew us over to be there at their event,
Gordon
did the thing, they're like, hey, Joey, JT, would you care to come down and share your thoughts on the microphone?
Yeah, sure.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, Mo's a good guy.
Yeah.
I mean, what am I going to say? You can't say no to that.
But we need to talk about our interview with PJ Barch, by the way. Let's not forget that.
Poor PJ Barch. Man, I really want to get a chance to see him again and apologize. No, we want to start off, actually, by giving a big shout out to our good friend Rob Bates, who is the founder and owner of Aurum Plus. And it is by virtue of his generosity, he invited us to be in his box because he sponsored the event and then for various reasons could not be there. And then basically said, gentlemen, go for it.
Enjoy the box.
Enjoy the box.
They got the food coming in, the drinks.
Mate.
Staff are super nice. You guys need anything in here?
So good.
Like it was pretty lit.
It was amazing.
It became the Bulletproof for BJJ box. You know, like.
Yeah, it did. And all the Aussies were in there. It was like the Aussie embassy.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Aussie athletes, plenty of crew from B Team came through.
I think it was the central depot for edibles in the arena too.
It could have been a few people taking naps on the Ben Hodgkinson laid up on the leather seat.
Sleepy boy.
Amazing. And look, I think the scale, this is the biggest thing I got to say. Watching it from home through Flow Grappling, even though you may have had a good experience of seeing clear vision of the map, you do not get the idea of how big this thing was. It was like a UFC major event.
Yeah, it was. I think with live sporting events and stuff, I'm always kind of surprised, which I shouldn't be, but it's always very different being at the event versus watching it on television.
Totally.
This is, personally, I don't like concerts. I like to listen to the album.
Yep.
It's consistent. I know what I'm getting.
Yes.
And there's a similar thing with sports events where you're like, oh, shit, I can't actually see the sport in the way that you see it on telly.
Yes.
However, for what it was as an experience to be there was epic.
Yeah, the atmosphere.
Bro.
There's pyrotechnics.
Yeah, big flame fucking things.
They had the Pride announcer.
Oh, yeah. Dude, so funny. We've got to give a shout out to Kieran and Ad's Beyond Jiu-Jitsu podcast.
Yes.
Our mates. I think it was Kieran was like, who the fuck was that announcer? Or like, what the fuck was with that? Like, for the young generation,
don't know Pride.
Yeah, that's the iconic. It's a very irritating voice.
Oh, so.
You're like, ooh. But if you watched Pride, which was some of the greatest combat events of all time, you can appreciate the irritating. I never saw, it's a woman, right?
Yes.
I've never seen her.
Oh, no.
Could you see her at the event?
I briefly saw, I have seen her once or twice before.
But like, where was she on the floor?
I think she was just back of the stage. Like,
you know how everyone's walking out of our view.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, the event was held at, I think it was like University of Las Vegas.
Thomas and Mack Center.
Thomas and Mack Center, which has a capacity of 15,000 people. It wasn't quite at capacity because they had this huge stage erected in the same way when they have weigh-ins for the UFC. All the athletes came out with a big screen behind them and fireworks, and it was like so legit.
Yeah.
In terms of
being walkout like, music and shit.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like that vibe was great. But what that meant is it obscured a good portion of the seating. So, I mean, it was packed.
Yeah, we were just behind that.
Yeah, we still had good view, but we a little bit more on the side. And
we'll talk to Rob about that for next year.
Come on, man. We got to mow a sim. Work it out. No, it was really interesting because also we could look across at the other boxes.
Yeah.
And there's like Jocko.
Jocko was just there.
Echo.
Yeah.
See those guys? Man, a lot of, this is the thing I didn't expect, but obviously being Las Vegas, a lot of celebrities turned out.
Dude.
Heaps of people, man.
Nate Diaz wanted to get a photo with us.
Of course.
I'm sure you saw that if you're listening to this. You got to have seen the photos.
You understand that he was like, I only speak Joe, like, you know, 420, baby.
Did you, bro, the funniest shit, I just got to tell you this real quick. JT and I had this funny thing. I went out to, I went out looking for you. I was like, fuck, where's JT? And I went out looking and I went out to the front of the arena, went down the stairs, came back and there was some guys milling around and I'm like, one of the dudes I just noticed was like, it was just some guy, looked really stoned, big glasses, just spitting on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, like you kind of see young hoodlum type guys doing. And in my mind, I'm like, it's gross.
Yep.
anyway, I went down and I came back up and the guy's spitting again. I'm like, fuck, guy's got to stop spitting. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy anyway? And I was like, oh, he's one of Nate Diaz's homeboys.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, you know, no big deal. Where's JT? And I'm like, no, wait, I'm going to regret this if I don't ask for a photo.
Yeah.
So I went to the guy and I said, hey, bro, what's going on? And he was like, sup? And I said, can I get a photo with your boy? And he's like, he just like put his hand out to grab my camera. And I went in next to Nate, right? And we got the photo. Yep. If you've followed on Instagram, you've seen the photo. But the funniest shit was I put that photo into an Instagram reel later on. And you know, with Apple phones, you have the live version of a photo where it's actually a short video.
Yeah, it kind of like animates it records slightly,
a few seconds. Yeah. It actually records audio as well, but you only hear the audio if you put that photo into a reel.
Oh.
And so I put it in the reel and Nate's doing this one.
Yeah.
And he actually goes, jeez. As the photo's being taken.
That's so good. I didn't realize.
I'll show it to you after. It's
that's
the best.
Awesome, man. Yeah. That's so good. Man, he was so high. And as soon as Joey came in, I was going and scouting, looking for just various jiu-jitsu celebrities to accost, grab an interview and just make an impression on. But I came back and Joey's like, I just got a photo of Nate Diaz. And I was like, fuck off. You didn't. What are you talking about? And he's like, check it out. I was like, what? I didn't believe it. Like,
where's my phone?
Yeah. I just went out the front because I'm like, is he still there? And he was. And there was like a line. There's a bunch of people just being like, oh, dang, Nate Diaz. So I was like, oh, damn, I don't have my phone. So I ran back in. Where's my phone? Oh, give me the phone. Ran back out there. I was like a little school kid. I was just like so hyped. And he was on a lean. He was on like a, you know, like a slope. He was standing, he was like, he looked like he was slumped in a chair.
It was midday, he was tired.
But he was standing up. Had those real dark glasses. And I actually was really hoping to somehow have some kind of interaction with, like a conversation somehow. Because I went to his guy, so he had all these homies, like a full clique of dudes. And you're like, oh, lads. Like,
yeah, they're just like lads, but the Southern Cali version.
Southern Cali, yeah. Like, yeah. One of these guys might have a piece. Like they didn't come inside.
Was strapping boys or what?
He's got the heater. But I went to the guy and I was like, oh man, can I get a photo? And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. There were some kids like they were doing like the Nate Diaz part. And he was so good with the kid. He like kind of animated a lot more for the kids, but he must just get so sick of random dudes like me being like, oh, Nate Diaz, I love you, man. Like, but I just wanted to tell him, when you knocked out Conor McGregor, bro, that was like – just one of the greatest moments. Like when you dropped him and you choked him out, man, one of the greatest moments in like UFC history. I mean, not to take away from your whole career. You've had an amazing career. And I'm just like, blah, blah, blah. He's just standing there looking at me. And then I was like, bro, that was just the best thing I've ever seen. And he just looked at me and he was like, that's what's up. And he was so, he just croaked it out like he could barely talk. And then he just pulled up the pose, you know, and I was like, yeah, this guy. I was so happy, man. It just made, like, it was the least interaction I've ever had with a person.
Shit, yeah.
But it was the best.
He was just, he's just ultra efficiency.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same as how he fights, right?
Yeah.
He's just like, I'm not getting in any deep conversations. Yeah, come stand next to me, I'll smile.
Yeah.
Like, not even smile, just, no, I'll just look towards the camera.
Yeah. But I mean.
But anyway. He was obviously there for that.
Oh,
right. He turned up as a bit of a media thing.
Yeah, man.
Which is pretty cool.
It's cool that
it speaks to how big ADCC is as a draw card.
The Liver King showed up.
Right. No one gave a fuck.
He did come in with his security. He had like some two big, you know, staunch guys as his security. Actually, had more than two.
He had a couple of NFL players. They were big dudes.
They're big dudes. And he just kind of made his way in, like, I'm Liver King. Like, let me in. And, like, people are like, hang on, you don't have a ticket. He's like, I'm Liver King.
And he Primals.
He did kind of chew his way down to the a certain balcony point. But
yeah, well, did you see, like, so he, because I think he was just looking for some action, right? Trying to make something happen.
Yeah.
I saw he got some photos. He made it down to where the fighters were.
Yes.
So he got some footage with, like, Nicky Rod and a couple of McCrellenstein and stuff. But, you know, he's just trying to make the most of it as well. But he walked down the balcony just in front of our box.
Yes.
And it was funny because everyone's watching. There's, like, two or three matches on. Liver King walks down to the end of the balcony.
Mm.
But everyone's watching the matches, so no one says, you know, it's not. And then he walks his way back up, kind of like just like, hey, is someone going to pay shout out to Liver King? Yeah. And then some guy's like, yo, Liver King or whatever. And he's like, oh, hey, what's up, man? And like goes in and like high fives the dude and, you know, does a little thing. But it kind of looked like it didn't, no one really gave a fuck.
No.
Because that's a funny thing too, right? Like,
you don't look that big in a room, at ADCC, bro.
Well, yeah, that's right. You look pretty natty to me.
You look natty.
100%. But also, like, in a room full of people who are kind of like, whatever, we're all sports people, but we're more of a fighter. Everyone there that trains is more of a fighter than he is.
Oh, 100%.
Right? And so you're like, well, here's this guy. So I think in a way, when you're around jiu-jitsu people and you see someone like that that kind of puts out this vibe of like, I'm a tough cunt,
tough,
but you've never once seen him training any kind of combat, right? No. It's just, who knows what the fuck he's doing?
Yes.
Towing cars and shit. No one really gives a shit.
No. No,
like you don't have the street cred in that scene.
You do not.
That you have if you went to maybe the UFC or something where there's a lot more just fans.
Yeah, for sure. And look, I mean, Juji Mufu was there. He participated in the tournament. Basically, all the here's the thing.
Everyone loved that guy.
Oh.
Because he fucking competed as well.
Yeah, he jumped in.
Yeah.
And he's a funny guy, but he had a crack, right? Even though he has no jiu-jitsu. But here's the thing a lot of people don't realize about this particular event. Mo had gone out of his way to make this a really big spectacle. And it was definitely that. They were projecting highlight videos onto the mats from the ceiling. It had that full stadium arena feel. And the response, now I'm just going to go to a particular moment right now.
Go there.
Hi, Sam.
Oh, hi, Sam.
Right at the start. It was like
early in the day.
Right. Just took it up, right?
Yeah.
Speak on it, Joey.
So hi, Sam Rita. I'm sure people listening, you know his name by now. You might not have been aware of him. He's been competing in Japan a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Big tall from Ghana, I believe.
He's huge, but he lived in France for a period of time as well.
Okay.
Yep.
I came across him watching Quintet, which is the Japanese team event, which is fucking sickest event, awesome. By the way, as awesome. A recommendation. But he was crushing it in that, and he stands out because it's mostly Japanese competitors.
Mm.
And then there's this guy that is tall and broad and black and could double the size of everybody else.
Could play in the NBA.
Yeah. Like he's got blonde peroxide hair and he fucking got long legs. Like he's a real specimen.
Yep.
And he can grapple like a motherfucker.
Yes.
And so he comes out and it was his ADCC debut,
it
right?
It was, yeah.
And fucking catches this lightning quick armbar on Cyborg. And I mean, you know, Cyborg, whatever, there's, you know, he's got a bit of dirt against his name. Like,
but I mean, as a competitor, that guy has won World's No Gi. He is a previous absolute ADCC champion.
Right. He is one of the legends of the sport.
Of No Gi, quite unstoppable.
Yeah. But I think there was an energy, right?
Yeah.
And when Haisam caught him, everyone's like, fuck yeah. Like, and he jumped, like he exploded. He like bounced up. Oh. He ran around the arena.
No. Oh man.
Like he ran around the arena high-fiving people. And then when he's getting his hand raised, he's like crying. Yeah. You're like, it's round one.
Dude.
But you're like, that's what we're in for. That's the day.
Yeah, it set the tone. It was so exciting. And the thing that I love about it, it's the all-star game. Everyone there is great. There wasn't anyone there who's like a gimme. Everyone there is either a past champion, a world champion, or just a complete savage.
Yeah.
And so interesting for me was I did my best to kind of get where I shouldn't be. It was like I got into the rules meeting because I just kind of wandered in with all the athletes and was able to kind of see that play out.
That was the Friday night, right, before the event?
Yeah, I got there on Thursday with Ola and we were just taking in Vegas. Man, let's just sidestep for a second. Vegas.
Oh, wild joint.
Crazy place. I mean, I had actually bought some nice looking dress shoes to go to Vegas because Ola's mum had said, oh, they're not going to let you in the casino with those filthy sneakers. So I actually went to the trouble of buying these nice shoes. The first day we were there, we stayed at Palms. People are there in slides and flip-flops.
Yeah, wherever the fuck you want.
With rolls of hundreds, dude.
Yeah.
People are throwing money. Like, you don't care what you look like. Like,
if you're buying.
Yeah. If you're here to gamble, let's go. Smoking, drinking, hard out.
Interesting thing for us, like, not sure how this would sit with, say, our like American listeners or European listeners, but in Australia, like here in Sydney at least, if you want to go out to like a club, chances are if you're a male, you're not getting in.
No.
You're only getting in if you're with like at least three women.
3-to-1 ratio.
Yeah. There's anything if you got a little hole in your shirt, if it doesn't have a collar, if your fucking shirt, like they just, those sneakers not allowed. So we've got this conditioning of where like, oh, you got to like,
dress up.
You got to be ready to go out. Whereas in Vegas, it's like, nah, show up and just come and spend your money. Like,
yeah, go fucking hard.
We'll let you in.
Yeah.
And it's actually very refreshing because you just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Get carried along.
It's kind of, there's a freeness in it, but let's just position this for a second, guys, because that weekend was a huge weekend in Vegas. For those of you who don't know, there's a Mexican Independence Day, and obviously the fight organizers had rigged this up. Canelo versus Triple G, Mark III.
Yep.
And so Canelo's Mexican. So that was huge. And also where Vegas is relevant to everywhere else. And there was also a Raiders game.
Yeah, on the Sunday.
On the Sunday. And there was also a massive, some other convention that went for 7 days. Plus you inject 13,000 additional jiu-jitsu fans who wouldn't be there. Mate, it was a crazy time.
Yeah, like it was Vegas is packed out in terms of it's pretty hard to get a room.
Yeah.
The casinos are all full.
Yes.
Like it's actually kind of at capacity.
Mm.
Often due to just one of those events. So when you have all of them, it's fucking mayhem.
Yeah. And man, the strip on that, the Saturday night after the first day, it was like, whoa, it's just so busy.
Yeah.
So crazy. For yourself, Joe, you came in. You'd had a couple of days in LA, came through with our good friend, the Dark Prince.
The Darkness.
This is my second time at the ADCC, and it was definitely steps above the previous. How did you feel about the whole thing?
Oh, man, I felt really fortunate to be there. The trip for me, like to give a bit of context for y'all, was last minute decision. JT was like, hey, bro, like we got this, you know, we're in the box. I got it. You said it to me early on. You're like, you know, if you want to come. And I was like, ah, yeah, but bro, fuck, I can't come to Vegas, you know? Like,
yeah.
You already had your trip planned, so it was like a happening for you.
Mm.
And then, I don't know, it was a couple of weeks out and Misa, my partner, was like, why don't you go? You know? And I was like, and I was like, nah, I can't. Yeah. We got the baby and, you know, I'm fucking super busy and all this. I'm really good at not taking holidays.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just great at being like, nah, I'm stuck here.
Yes.
And then, like, the next day she's like, so you're going to go?
Oh,
and it kind of went on like this for like a few days.
She was
really good because I guess that's she amazing. Knows what I'm like.
She's
like
awesome. That. She's awesome.
And she also saw that you had created this opportunity. Mm. Our business is in a place where it is only now. Like it's a very cool stage for us. Obviously, you know, the organizers wanted us there.
Of course.
You know, and it's only every 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's like, right. Hey, this doesn't come around every 12 months.
That's right.
And so eventually I was like, I'll do it.
Oh,
let's go.
Yes.
And so it was a 1 week trip for me.
Yes.
So I was like, JT, I'm coming. You're like, what? I'm like, yeah, dude, I know. I'm coming. I got 2 days in LA on either side and this weekend in Vegas. Super fortunate for me. Very fast paced. Got to LA, had a great couple of days there. The Prince, friend of ours, if you followed the Bulletproof Instagram a year or two ago, you would have seen the Dark Prince training with us. He's been a long time friend of ours. But he's based in LA at the moment. So I was like, bro, let's jump in your car. Let's head out. Had a hotel together and stuff. Mate, it was mad. Like, it was all put on. You know what I mean? We got there. It was like, you can engage with jiu-jitsu as a bit of a fan. It's not like engaging with other sports like a fan where it's like they build the events for the fans.
Yes.
But that event was for the fans.
Definitely was.
And so all the grapplers around. But it's this beautiful period where it's still very young. So most of the stars are just hanging out. They want you to come and say good day. So you're just walking through, you're like, oh, holy shit, it's the Hillbilly Hammer.
Yeah.
Or fuck, it's Ricardo Jacob Arona.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, hey, what's going on, man? Like, who are you? Like, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Versus like, you look at like more developed sports where you just can't touch them.
Think about tennis. Do you think you could just walk in and be like, yo, Roger Federer, what's up?
Can we do a little interview?
Impromptu interview? Like, no. That's never going to happen. But that is the great thing about jiu-jitsu. And I think being in that environment, it makes you realize that these people who have done incredible things are human. And for the best part, are reasonably well intentioned. I can't speak for everyone. But, you know, like there was a super, super seminar where basically all these legends of jiu-jitsu were getting inducted into the ADCC Hall of Fame.
Was that the first time they've done this Hall of Fame thing? Because they had a lot of people to get through.
It was crazy, man. They had like Marcelo teaching a seminar. You had Barrett Yoshida. You had Henzo Gracie. You had Buddy Tynan. You had Hodger. You had this like.
Solo. Yeah, all of them.
On one huge, all at the same time.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. Obviously, people paid a lot of money to go to those things. But I was just kind of walking around the periphery of that like, whoa.
That super sound, I think it was like 500 US. It was big money.
Yeah.
But would have been a fucking cool experience.
Amazing. There was a lot of people there. It was just cool to be there because the thing that I have found, I don't know what other people's experience is, when you meet someone like Hodger Gracie, because I guess that guy's been so lauded and so applauded for such a long time, he has got a good way to handle his celebrity. He's not a jerk in any way. He's actually quite friendly. He's quite open because everyone's like, oh, Hodger, you know, he's just like, oh, hey, like he's quite familiar. And I don't know what it is, but like we'll talk about it a little bit later. But yeah, he's just really friendly.
But did you meet any jiu-jitsu people that weren't?
Gordon.
Did you meet Gordon?
Yeah.
Because
we swing the big arms on the way past.
Okay, because I didn't meet him. Yeah. But I got to say, from everything I saw, he seemed extremely friendly.
I think I had a different experience because it's pre-comp. I think post-comp, right. he was in a different mode.
Yeah.
Like at the rules meeting, you know, like it's tough because you've got all these people, they're cutting weight, you know, both men and women, just they're in a very intense moment.
Yeah.
And this is the big moment in their career. It could make or break their career. Other than, actually, we're going to go to the exception to the rule, our very relaxed friend.
Owen. Yeah, Owen Flanagan.
You're seeing everybody just being real serious and like, you know, all this stuff.
Fuck, so, what are they getting so worked up about, mate? Fuck, it's just jiu-jitsu, relax.
Just jiu-jitsu. So what's your game plan? Yeah. Oh, you know, just go out there, roll, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, why would you just kick someone? It's just jiu-jitsu. Bro, this is the biggest competition right now. He was so relaxed. He did so well.
He's so fucking great.
He's a lovely guy.
We're lucky to get to hang out with Owen Flanagan. If you didn't see him, he lost to Bedoni.
He did.
In the quarters or the semis?
Yeah, he won two matches here. I think he beat Mason Fowler.
He beat Mason Fowler and Shanji.
Yeah.
Which was pretty fucking sick.
And did it well.
Yeah, he looked really good.
I was like, oh, this could be a big upset.
Yeah. And I think I saw a little clip. He was doing well against Bedoni. And then Bedoni just caught a fucking
But it went
quick
to his
foot
bad,
on him.
He has got a bad ankle.
Does he?
Yeah.
He does now.
Well, no, no, no. You could see the look on Giancarlo's face, like, oh, that was a bit easy.
Yeah, right.
And he was like, man, my ankle's already bad.
Yeah, fair.
You can't have that. Like, you can't have those weak spots.
We got to hang out with him. But his buddy Charles, his strength conditioning coach, is an old friend of mine from back in the day when we used to do, when I did my CrossFit certification. I was like, hey, Charles, you're here. And we got to hang out. We've always kind of been in the jiu-jitsu scene together but never really trained.
Yeah.
And then he moved to London and he's built this thing and he's kind of doing – sort of what we're doing.
Very similar.
Helping grapplers and doing great stuff. Shout out to those guys. They have a podcast. I think it might be Charles Allen Price and Owen Flanagan.
It could be. What we'll do is we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Sick. Check those guys out. But yeah, fucking what a classic dude.
Yeah.
Just like so chill. Just really good energy about it.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Just super laid back. But a beast. A total beast.
But to your point, like I was surprised every person I met that was a somebody was just super friendly and open.
Yeah.
You know, and I reckon like, and I mean, yeah, like pre-comp, you're going to be in your zone. Like, okay, fuck everyone else right now.
Yep.
Depending on how you engage with competition. Not me. I'm making friends with the whole crew.
Of course.
It's interesting, right? So even for say Gordon's thing where it's like he comes across a certain way in public.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think there was a lot of him that, you know, there's a nice side to him that a lot of people got to see.
I'm sure. And look, definitely there's a big difference with Gordon post the whole comp versus all the build-up. Like, yes. You know, he was having a good time at the after party, whereas previously at 2019 after party, sat in the corner, didn't drink, didn't dance.
Yeah, right.
Didn't engage at all. And what was even more interesting in the
– was that in the 2019, the
2019,
last one?
He was
– Where he won, right?
Yeah. He dominated. Like he killed it. But it was a very different reaction, I would suppose. This is my just takeaway on it, guys, but I actually called the result – prior, we actually left. Full confession, full transparency, I did not stay and watch the final because I knew.
JT's like, guys, call me crazy, Gordon's going to win.
But I was like,
we're like, what?
No, but I actually texted and I was like, Gordon Ryan choked from, like, re-naked choke from the back.
Okay,
I called that. And also Ola had the presence of mind to say, there's going to be 13,000 people trying to get an Uber in 10 minutes. We should bail. And I was like, good call.
Did I tell you our story about getting out of there with Lockie Giles?
No. All right. There's a lot of good stories that come out of this one, but okay, go there.
So like Lockie Giles, he's in the box with us hanging out. You know, he had a big couple of days and whatever. And it was the first time I met Lockie face to face. Lovely guy. He's the classic. He's not a star.
No.
But there he's a star.
Yes,
everyone wants to be, oh, Lockie, can I get a photo? Fuck, I love you. What you do, Lockie? I got your instructions. And he's just like, oh, yep, sure. Let's get a photograph. Like he's a really humble guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, the Dark Prince and I are like, let's get the fuck out of here. It's like the thing's over. We stayed and watched the last fight and whatever. And Lockie's like got his backpack and he's like, is anyone going back to the Mandalay Bay? And we're like, we're going back. You want to jump in with us? He's like, yes, please. And so we're out in the arena trying to get out, you know, like past all the food stalls and shit out the stairs. And literally every 30 seconds, someone's like, Lockie, can I get a photo? Lockie, can I get a photo? No. And so this speaks to Lockie's strategic jiu-jitsu mind. Lockie's like, the first few, he's like, oh, yep, sure, let's get a photo. Oh, hang on, guys, just got to do a photo with it. Yep, okay, yep, thank you, yep, great, cheers. Next photo. And then after the few of those, he's like, yes, we can take a photo, but can we walk 25 meters, take a photo there?
Ah, oh, very smart.
So he starts, clever. So that we're making ground.
Distance, yes.
It's so funny, right? And genius. So people are like, yeah, sure, we'll walk and take the photo. So anyway, we get him outside, like down the stairs outside and, you know, and then it's kind of, it goes, you know, into the car park and shit. So we're like, here, Lockie, let's beeline over here. We couldn't find our Uber. There were so many fucking Ubers lined up.
Yeah.
It was a bit of mayhem.
Chaos.
But basically, yeah, it took us ages to get back to the hotel.
Yeah.
We got back. We ended up, the three of us, at the food court in between the Mandalay Bay and Egyptian.
The pyramid?
Yeah, in the pyramid.
Yeah.
And we're at some dodgy burger shop and Lockie's like getting takeaway and he's like, I'm going to go back to my room. Nice to see you guys.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course, go.
Yeah. It was like 11 p.m. at that stage.
Yes.
And the after party's on.
Yes.
And it's like, fuck, man, it was a late finish.
Yeah, dude, very late. I'm going to sidestep to a different story. I'm going to talk about at the end of day one, we did a bit of a summary. We did a summary video, which we haven't released yet. You'll probably see it on our YouTube by the time you catch this. Yes, so much stuff happened on the first day. And this is where I want to give a shout out to Kenta. Kenta from B-Team.
Yeah.
Kenta did a number on JT Torres. Like took him down, held him down, took him down again.
Wrestled the fuck out of him.
Wrestled. And I have never seen JT Torres kind of, it wasn't disrespectful. It was just, he was coming for it.
Yeah.
And I think JT didn't, he underestimated Kenta because a lot of people just don't know what a savage, he's a very polite, nice.
He's a quiet, like, Japanese guy. I think he's pretty unknown in the scene because he does a lot of MMA in Japan, right?
Yeah.
Kenta Iwamoto, I believe.
Yes, that's right. And he's lovely. I got a chance to chat with him because a couple of the B-Team boys, like Kai's training at B-Team, also trained at Absolute, and then also Declan, Moody. Yeah. A lot of the boys.
Classic dude.
Yeah, amazing guy. Great mullet. Mullet Lord, shout out.
Yeah, good look.
Awesome. We had said, come in the booth, hang out with us. It's all great, you know? And so subsequently, very hungry B-Team athletes. Because there's no – here's the
oh, y'all got food?
Here's a slice of pizza. We're friends. Kenta had put on this amazing performance. JT had pulled out the win at the end. He might have got a back take or – he outpointed Kenta. It was very fortunate, right? It was a tight match. I honestly believe that really – that did tax him.
Yeah, because, JT for his next round.
Yeah, JT fought PJ Barch the next round and PJ Barch looked good, dude.
Oh, bro.
It was
dominant.
Incredible. And he got a really clean, I don't know, body lock or like a takedown to side control. It's like 4 points. And that was pretty much the match right there. It was an upset because also PJ had been like an alternate. He had just missed out in the trials.
Okay.
I think two times. And had is an amazing grappler. He had wars. He had a black eye, all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, his face was dusted up.
Bro, so and he must have been so exhausted. So
we're reliving this at the front of the arena.
We're talking, oh, these matches, man. PJ Butch.
Oh, what a guy.
He walks behind us. And I'm like, oh, PJ Butch.
Holy shit, here he is right now. PJ, what's up?
And then he was like,
no, he was on the phone.
He was on the phone.
He was like, oh,
no.
Like fucking barred our face.
I'm not dealing with this shit. He just walked up and we're like, yeah.
We'll catch you later, PJ.
Yeah, you're good.
It was hilarious.
It was such a funny moment. I felt like a bit of a dick after, so I'm like, man.
Me too.
Should respect his privacy, but he was right there.
He was there, and we were talking about him. It was a moment in time.
And we wanted to give him kudos.
That's right, yeah.
Like, great work. You know, it would have been just a really sweet deal if he was like, oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, all right, see ya. Like, it would have been. But he was just like, nah.
Fuck you guys.
What are you trying to do to me?
Yeah.
You know, he was just same as everyone, just trying to get out of there. But, man, there was so many highlight performances. And was there any in particular? I mean, look, we had Australians doing their best. We had
our two guys.
JPS and Nikki Jiu-Jitsu.
Yep.
Nikki Lloyd-Griffiths. And, you know, Nikki came in pretty fearless against bloody Gabby Garcia.
Tough draw.
That's tough.
I mean, what was Nikki? She was at the very bottom of that weight category, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Was over 77?
Yeah, I believe so.
So Gabby's 100 plus.
Gabby would be like 120 kilos.
Yeah, right.
Easily.
And Nikki's like 78.
Yeah.
or like low 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she doesn't have a – she's just
– I felt that Nikki – the great thing about Nikki is she has a real go-get-it attitude. She's like, I don't even care who you are. Like, I'll just try and find a way to beat you. She's just really – whatever is on underneath the surface, exterior, she's like smiling like, I'll heel hook you. I'll take you back. I'll choke you. And I actually did truly believe that that was possible. But unfortunately, it kind of unfolded in the terrible way it can, which is Gabby Garcia just getting on top of you and smothering the life out of you.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, tough for her. She was obviously disappointed.
Of course.
With that – everybody, like no one would hold it against her. I was like, fuck, that's a tough fight to win.
Yeah. The thing that I, at least as a spectator, a friend, a fan, you know, an ex-teammate, seeing your mate get out there and just bang with the best in the world, the greatest of all time, you're like, God, that's great. It's inspiring. It's like, yeah, good for you. Like, you're doing this thing right now. It's incredible to witness that. And then, I mean, yeah. I still hold that the view of Gabby like facing off and her just looking up and just smiling in her face, like, whatever, bitch, bring it on. You know, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And then another Australian, Adele, she had to fight Fionn. Yes,
she did too.
First round, that's tough. And Adele is amazing. Fionn Davies came in on fire.
She looks so good.
Bro, it was I think that's the thing that people just don't appreciate. You just might be fighting the greatest of all time. Straight up, and they're on one, and you have to show up for that.
Yeah.
So that was a tough match too.
I hardly recall that match. Here's the thing to mention, like the way that the matches play out, on day one, you've got three mat areas, and on day one, all three mat areas have a match going pretty much all day.
Simultaneously, yeah.
And so from where we're sitting, you can't actually really see, like it's very, you know, you're quite a distance away from each of those mats. But in the box, you have like a little TV, like a screen in front of you, and that's showing whatever the broadcast is showing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, whatever Flow Grappling's showing.
Yeah, yeah. So you can see one match more in depth there, but there's these other two matches happening on the side, and you got to think that you're watching the one on the screen, you're looking down there, but then something happens on the far side of the arena, crowd erupts. You're like, what's going on over there? So you're trying to like split your attention between the three.
Yeah.
Kind of what I was saying before, you don't actually get to appreciate each of the matches for what it is.
Yes.
Until you get to the second day where it's finals and they do like one match at a time.
Yeah.
So you zero in on this. There were so many matches as a result that I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't even remember what happened there. Yeah. I maybe saw a bit of it, but I don't remember Adele's match.
No, it was tough to watch because like I know Adele from Melbourne. She's now based in Perth, trains with our mate Jacob Driscoll.
Oh, does she?
Yeah. I mean, I think technically she's still under her previous coach, but that's where she's based.
Yeah.
And she'd worked really hard and came in really well. But Fionn Davies, amazing performance from her, dominant.
Yeah.
Like she took Bia out with that big hip toss.
Oh, that was sick.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Really good. And so it was great to see her win.
Crowd loves a hip toss.
Oh, God.
Any kind of big takedown.
Boom. Yeah.
It's like, not as we all know, like it's not really a big deal when you get taken down like that in jits.
No.
You hit the ground, you just keep playing, keep whatever. Fighting. But like for everyone watching, it's like, oh, shit.
It's like a dunk.
Yeah, that's right.
Dunked on. Boom. Oh, dang. Man, JPS, Jeremy Paul Skinner.
Bro, went to war with AJ Agazarm.
And played it well. Like played it really well.
A lot of people have been talking about since I've been back, his armbar that he used that he almost caught him with. That's like almost like the legs don't go over the head. It's like,
yes.
One of those things I'm like, I didn't see, I saw it happening.
Has he done a breakdown of it?
Don't know.
We should get him to do a breakdown of it to fully explain. Look, guys, there was some controversy, as always, when you have AJ Agazarm in the spotlight. You know, he wants to make the most of it. I was at the rules meeting. I heard what they said. If you are in a position which stops, like if someone goes for a takedown, but they don't take you down successfully, like within a certain amount of time, like 5 seconds, and like the play is stopped. Jeremy had kind of gone to like a reverse triangle, like around the upper body, was controlling the hips, was kind of trying to like set up an attack, go to his back, and the play had stopped. And then at a critical point, AJ kind of got out and then Jeremy went to guard. And then AJ's like, oh, it's 2 points.
Oh, right, it's takedown.
Yeah, and then Jeremy won and AJ protested.
Yeah.
And he was getting booed and get off. And it was just like, bro, it's not about you. Like, there were some pretty tight matches. He's like,
bitch, it's all about me.
It's all about
me. I mean, he did the best of making the most of his appearance, right?
Oh, he did. He got leverage.
In this media.
Oh, yeah. And then he was fighting to get back on. Once I took him off, he was like arguing. And but interestingly enough, and I'll just share this with you guys, Jeremy said he was a total gentleman about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Afterwards, he came up to me. He's like, really sorry, man. I reacted like that. Like, that
wasn't about you.
It's not about you. I just felt the ref did me wrong. And, you know, and a lot of people hate on AJ Agazarm, right? I don't know him. But Jeremy's like, no, he was cool. He was cool to me before. And he was even nicer afterwards. He was super respectful and all that. He wished him luck, you know, the whole piece.
But that's the thing is it's the Gordon thing. It's the McGregor thing. It's like I'm going to play a villainous role sure. in the public eye.
Get the attention.
But, you know, I'm actually a good person. Like I'm a fine person.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all right. Yeah, whatever. That's up if for someone else to decide. But there's like two personas there, the real one and then the public one.
The act. Yeah.
Yeah. AJ's always been that guy in grappling, definitely. Which, you know, I gotta give some props. In a way, I don't like his character in the same way I don't like the way Gordon is,
yep.
you know, with a lot of his stuff. I feel like they do elevate the sport because they bring attention.
But that's why Moasim loves Gordon. He is Conor McGregor to Moa Sims' Dana White.
That's right.
Like he's brought all this attention. He's brought all these fans. He's this kind of champion guy, champion competitor. So many great performances on that day. I mean, Aussies did well, but really the only one who was able to break through was Craig Jones.
Oh, what about Lockie's performance?
I mean, Lockie.
Be remiss not to mention.
No. Lockie did well. And he
fought the two division winners.
He fought the best guy in each category. So, yeah, man, he's fighting Cade. And
Cade, bro, that guy can just turn a negative into a positive. Like, he just, it's all counterattack, isn't it?
Yeah. And scramble and.
Yeah.
King of scramble.
Yeah. Like, Lockie was looking good. And then it was just like, oh, fuck, Cade just armbarred him. Like, where'd that come from?
And he had him in a heel hook, too. Lockie caught the heel hook. They have such – the Rotolo brothers, shout out Rotolos, have exceptionally long arms. And he was like arm fighting him and he had it locked in but he couldn't get the torque on it.
Yeah, right.
And the funny thing is Lockie is actually pretty happy because it was like a huge advertisement for his guard retention.
Yeah.
Like he was able to just kind of with no control kind of invert and not get past for nearly the entire match.
Yeah.
Like it was a good probably 8 minutes, 9 minutes and it would just – Cade just did a little kick, grabbed the arm and –
Yeah, theoretically didn't pass.
No.
Caught the armbar, but never passed.
Never passed.
Yeah.
And then same with Yuri Samoy. So Lockie fought, and Lockie was actually gunning for Nicholas Merengali.
Was he?
Lockie really wanted to beat a Danaher guy. Because he knows Danaher doesn't like him.
Danaher not like Lockie?
No, not at all.
Or he doesn't like him because he presents like a problem for them?
No, I think it's because, you know, it's an ideological thing.
Okay.
Lockie is a really nice guy, but he's also a little bit mischievous in a kind of Aussie kind of way.
Yep.
And so he's like, oh, wouldn't it be funny? Like, it would be a bit funny if I, like, heel hook Nicholas Merengali, wouldn't it? You know, like, wouldn't that be funny? Not even, like, oh, like an ego thing, just as a joke.
Yep.
And but he had to fight Yuri Samoys. And Yuri, Jesus, he came to win. I actually bumped into him in the Mandalay when I was walking around with Ola and her parents before the event.
Oh, yeah?
I was like, oh, what's up, Yuri? He's like, oh, hey, man. I was like, yeah, I'm from Australia. He's like, oh, yeah. I used to live in Australia. I'm like, yeah, I know. I was like, yeah, I'm with Lockie. I'm from Absolute. And he's like, yeah, I used to train with Lockie. It's like, I used to train with Kit. And yeah, he was like.
He trained with those guys.
Yeah, he was exceptionally friendly. He was actually looking to set up like a check match Australia.
Okay.
What have you. And he was cool. Yeah, he was real cool. And I was like, man, they did you bad last time because he had a bad reset against Kynan.
Okay.
Kanan, however you pronounce it. And yeah, they basically gave Kynan the back and he choked.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, Nuri's a former champion.
Yeah.
So he ended up winning the absolute. And Lockie lost to Cade, who won the category, and then he lost to Nuri, who won the absolute. So it's funny, speaking with him afterwards, he was like, you know what? I still feel like I displayed my game. You know, he's like, yeah, you know, that's the next instructional.
That's, speaking of which too, we got some interviews with some different folk. Lockie's one of them. It's on our YouTube channel. You'll be there by the time you hear this.
Yes.
And then Craig, obviously I cut you off on that before.
Yeah.
Did fucking great.
Man, he got quick subs. He got the choy bar real quick. Like I reached in, just tap.
Yep.
You know, he
got the guillotine.
Got the guillotine.
Yeah.
Like,
and Craig. Kyle Baum.
Yeah. He looked very good. And the thing is, like, I think he could win today. He looked great. Like, he was doing a lot better than others. But Conan Duarte looked like the biggest unit of all time. Like, he looked bigger than he has ever looked.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's tough.
And he's fucking, like, he's not, he doesn't have the most exciting jiu-jitsu, but he's got very strong jiu-jitsu. Like, it's solid as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, he copped a lot of criticism because he didn't look super active with the Craig match.
Yeah.
But he was also, like, sitting on Craig's guard.
Yeah.
And not allowing Craig to initiate his guard.
To do anything.
And motherfucker, like, if you let Craig start playing his guard,
no, you're
going to lose. Yeah. So in a way, I was like, they kept giving him the penalty points, which seemed excessive at the rate they were giving him.
It was. They were just penalizing faster than anyone has ever been penalized.
Yeah.
Ever.
But I'm also like, what are you gonna do again? That's what you have to do.
You have to.
Unless you got a better, like, unless your passing is better developed than his guard play, which that's a fucking tall order.
Yeah. But he played it smart. I think in the moment I was hating on him because I was like, man, I wanted to see more of an exchange.
Yeah, you want to see the action.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, how is, you know, Conan's defense against Craig's attack? And like, because he'd fought Craig before and taken his back and choked him, like off a leg lock defense.
Right.
So you're like, oh, that'd be cool. But oh, also, could Craig become an ADCC champion? Like, you know, as much as I will talk smack about Craig. I respect him. And it would have been pretty awesome to see him win. But nah, he just got his game shut down. And
he's a big crowd favorite, old Craig.
Oh, he's a
fucking love him out there.
They love him. Actually, he's an adopted American now.
Oh,
I
tried
to talk about which Australians are in the comp. And I'm like, yeah, Craig Jones. He's like, and this guy is like an ADCC organized, like, no, he's American. I was like, what the fuck? No, he's not.
He lives in Texas. He's got guns. He's American.
Yeah, we've adopted him. In the same way Australians adopt, like, Kosh Jizu. Can't speak English. Boxing world champion. You're Australian. You live here now. You know? Isaac Michelle, hell of a match.
With Wagner?
Bro, he was doing so well. But Wagner Rocha, how is he, 45?
Bruh. I don't know. Fuck him.
Mate,
what vegetable is? Does he avoid nightshades? Is it, you know, do you stew the tomatoes? Like,
vegan lifestyle?
Do you salt them before or after the sauce? You know, I'm like, what the?
It's olive oil and acai. Mate.
I do a raw garlic clove every 2 days. It's the secret.
Right. He has cauliflower face.
But, you know, just a note on that, like, we're alluding to, like, juicing, right?
Yes.
But I actually got to squash any kind of criticism there because, as I understand it, if you're competing at that level in that competition where there's no rules against juicing, it's like, do whatever the fuck you want.
Go home.
Everyone's doing it. Like, pretty much everyone's doing it. So I can't hold it against, you know, like an older guy that's older. Competing at that level. It doesn't take anything away from what he's doing.
Man, he was winning. And man, he looked even good against the Hulk until he kicked him in the face.
That's right.
And it was brutal. It was absolutely just, because you're like, oh, is the Hulk playing it up? Slow motion replay. Like, because he was going to, like, take down and pass, just straight up kick heel to the cheekbone. And then they didn't penalize
And then
it.
these ones.
Hey, oh, what?
It's the soccer hands.
Jiu-jitsu. Oh, hey, what's going on here? And man, boo. Ah. But it was even. It was dead set even. Match goes to Hulk. I think, the kick to the face cost, like, it was a pretty even match. Maybe Hulk came stronger at the end.
Hulk looked good. Who did he compete against Bodoni next?
Yeah, he lost to Bodoni in the final.
Hulk was looking good.
Hulk looked great.
Yeah.
And it was real tough for Hinger because, like, Hinger had to fight him.
Ah, yeah, okay.
They're teammates.
So he had to fight him and he had to fight Cade.
He had to fight Ty.
Yeah,
he
right.
Beat Ty.
Savage.
It's tough.
But yeah, Isaac Michelle, just on that, he looked really fucking good.
Mate.
I think he got kind of outpointed in a way by a more experienced ADCC competitor. Yeah. You would expect that next time round.
It would be different.
And Isaac, he's a young guy and he's early kind of on the journey.
The journey.
So much potential.
Huge. And then man, you're looking at like so debut for Nicholas Merengali, crazy. And then looking at debut for Giancarlo Bordoni, and he won.
Bruh.
Mate, he looked so good against everybody.
He did. Yeah, he was a killer.
Yeah, it was – I think the thing about this, guys, as much as you might not all know this information, because we're kind of recalling it as we work our ways through the days and bounce it back and forth, it's so overwhelming how much good jiu-jitsu went down. Like, it's just
– yeah.
I got fried.
It's too much. It's too much to be able to take in.
Yeah.
Like we did – when we did that video where we caught that epic interview with PJ, you're like, bro, tell me about day one. And I'm like – oh man, I can't even remember anything that just happened. Give me a sec. I was like, yeah, like it was really, and so that it's almost like it's like when you go to a buffet, there's just too much good food. You can't enjoy it all, guys. Learn this. You're better off just to choose one protein, one carbohydrate. You know what I mean? So ADCC is that thing where it's like,
what are you talking about, Joe? Up your eating game. You can enjoy everything if you eat hard enough.
It's like, yeah, fuck, have this jiu-jitsu overload.
It was amazing. And then Zenith. She won the absolute.
Oh, the American girl.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember her name.
I apologize. Forgive me. It was an amazing match. And her post-win speech was great. She was talking about character and overcoming adversities and how she wanted to find something that would show her character. And she stayed with one team for 14 years and the whole thing. It was incredibly heartfelt. It was, like, incredibly articulate. I was like, whoa. She did so well. Like, I was like... I actually had no awareness of her, and it was like, wow, huge performance from her. I don't think she was a favorite at all. So amazing for her to come through and win that.
That match, that final, was that happening at the same time that Fionn was fighting? I feel like it was.
It could have been, yeah.
Yeah, I remember just being like, oh, shit.
What,
like,
am I going to pay attention to? There's
fucking too much going on here, yeah.
Yeah, man. And that's the thing, like, yeah, the system overload. Let's cut to funnier stories, because I think there's some funny stuff in there. I'm just going to share behind the scenes. So we got to go to the after party.
Yeah.
We had our own little booth.
Yep.
Let me tell you, a couple of grand doesn't go far on a bottle service in Las Vegas. You know, you're lucky if you get two bottles. But what a random thing happened. I got there early and I saw Mo, chatted to Mo. He gave us our assigned spot and no one was there yet. It was just randoms. And he just said, oh man, like this is the ADCC section. He's like, you can come up in here. And the security were like real tight. It's at this club. It's a club at the top of the Cosmopolitan. It's called like Heaven or Haven, or I can't quite remember. But early on, I got to just kind of make friends with the bouncers. Like, hey, and he's like, yeah, this guy's cool. And so they were like, yeah, you're sweet. Heaps of ADCC royalty came in and didn't know what the hell was going on. So I was just like, oh, hey, Victor Estima, how are you going? Yeah, yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, I kind of know this guy. I was like, yeah, this is the way up here. And he's like, oh, thanks, man. Oh, Bradley Estima, how you doing?
That fucking entrance was ridiculous.
Oh, mate.
Like, go up or go down. Like,
elevator, up the stairs, yeah. Fucking yeah, yeah. Up Spook Hill.
So you're like facilitating, like, let me lead you to the event.
Trying to help because I had no idea where to go. And then ultimately it's like Hodger Gracie. Hey, Hodger, this is the way, man. Oh, thanks, bro. Yeah, like, you know, I just like suddenly I become like an ADCC official. It was hilarious. But it meant at the end of the night, like all of them were like, yo, good work, bro, thanks. Like they were like, they're pretty boozed, but they're getting a lot of love from these super famous guys. I met Lex Friedman.
Oh, you did?
And he was hammered.
Yep.
And he was so chatty, man. He was actually like really personable. And Mikhail Yaya and his partner Mon were there.
Yep.
And Mon is a massive fan of Lex Friedman. She was just fangirling out.
Yeah.
But he was so funny because he'd just be like, kind of joking around. And next to me, he's like, yeah, I'm really in a good place right now. Like going over there to Ukraine, like I feel like, you know, if you held a gun to my head and shot me, like dead, I'm good with that. I'm like, is that a good place to be in, mate? Like, really? It's like, yeah, you know, like it's war. You got to accept these things. I'm like, what? I don't know if that's right. And then when people would take photos with him, they'd be like, smile. And he'd be like, and they're like, no, Lex, smile. He's like, I'm smiling. And that's his thing, you know. And he's actually quite good friends with the B team guys.
Okay,
they were all just kind of bantering,
kicking around there.
Yeah,
and he was wearing his black suit and the black tie, his uniform,
white shirt. Yeah, yep. It's a shtick. But he was actually really cool, very interesting guy to chat to. I would love to hear him on Rogan drunk. Lex Friedman drunk is funny as shit.
I fear that the slurring. Because he has a bit of a slur when he's not drunk, and he, you know, like he has kind of like this slow tempo.
Yeah,
But yeah, I've actually come around to his podcast quite a bit since that trip, not because of it, but I've just jumped on a couple of episodes and I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Now, do you have a favorite, like, just random moment?
There was a couple random moment from that same party, and just kind of indicative of the stupid shit that happens at these events.
Yep.
Was just gone to the bathroom. I've come back. I've run into Mikhail and Mon, yep. And I'm standing there with them, and it's a big B team kind of gathering.
Yep.
And Nikki Ryan's next to me, and then there's these two kind of older women.
Yep.
And they're like, they got this bottle of vodka in these plastic cups, and they're speaking real loud. I think there was a Jersey accent.
Okay.
And then someone's like, oh, bro, yeah, Nikki, that's Nikki's mum. And I'm like, oh, okay. And they're like, that's Gordon's mum. And I'm like, oh, holy shit. Okay, cool. And then she's pouring. I don't know who the woman that she's with, but one of them's got the cups. The other one's got the bottle.
Yep.
And she's pouring the cup, and then she's just handing the cup, just throwing cups at people.
Right.
And she's like, have some vodka. Drink this vodka, you fucking pussy. And I'm like, thank you very much, ladies. This is like fucking horrible vodka. Yeah, but I'm like, that's a cool moment in time.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, so good.
Bro, we need to give a shout out to our boy Bobby Sandu.
Yeah, we do.
We had an episode that launched while we were away, and we're talking about our boy Bobby, who is an advocate of the program and a friend of ours.
He is.
And some of the shit that we came off offended him.
True.
And it rubbed him the wrong way. And and you know, we just wanted to shout out to fucking love that guy.
Yeah.
And I respect what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I don't want anyone to come off. I don't want anyone to think that, you know, whatever. We say shit, we joke.
We do.
But I don't want anyone to think that we're ragging on people doing good work.
And he's dedicated. I think the dedication, him traveling to B team, doing his thing, there's no question about Bobby's commitment to being great at jiu-jitsu.
Absolutely.
And he's a very knowledgeable guy.
And I told him, I said, bro, I'll come to your seminar.
I won't.
I'm coming.
I told him. I said, Bobby.
Well, you probably know whatever's being taught, but I'm like, it'll be new information.
I don't. I'm not saying I know what Bobby knows. And I think this is a misunderstanding. All to the side, I've spoken with Bobby. I love him. He's a great guy. And if you wanted to learn what's going on at the B team, he's a really good way to access it. He's way more accessible than Craig. You know what I mean? This, like, so true. That's great, right? And I think what Bobby's doing is a good thing. So anyway, it was misconstrued. Banter is savage, people, just saying.
Absolutely. Comedy's not an easy gig, my friends.
All right.
We'll wrap it up there.
We will, man. There's a lot that kind of went undescribed.
I think we'd do another one.
Yeah.
Of those where we can tell some more stories, because, yeah, that's really just scratching the surface.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Fam, thank you for listening. Hey, if you want some help with your training, we got the program for you, strength and mobility programs for jiu-jitsu players like you. You can go to bulletproofforbjj.com, sign up for a free trial, and if you use the code BJJPODCAST, you'll get 20% off your subscription. Just a note on our program, we've been building an app for last 4 months.
Yes.
Basically, it's nearing completion. It's surprisingly a bigger job than we'd probably,
of course.
You know, it's like, fuck, always. This thing's actually monster. But the app's going to be fucking sick. It will supersede our online program. It will be the new home. It will be super sleek and fast loading and all that stuff. Just want to let you know that's coming, and we'll keep you updated on its progress.
Oof.
My guy.
Peace.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.